Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have blessed us with this day that you've given us. What a joy it is to be able to live and exist in a world that you created and in a life that you have given each one of us. And Father, we know that you've created us all uniquely and special, and we're thankful for that. And Lord, we know that we would be nothing without you. So we're so thankful for what you've done in our lives, that you have brought us here and you have led us and guided us into being a child of the King. So Lord, as we celebrate this time tonight and talk about the post-tribulation, some of the tribulation things, just pray, Father, that you will open our eyes, open our hearts, that we will all gain a better understanding of what this book of Revelation means. In your name we pray. Amen.
Time here, you deserve. that you are Lord, for I am nothing, I am nothing without you.
I am not alone, I am not alone. you getting your workout. In a rare moment, we're actually doing both the opening and closing hymns here on Thursday night because I like them both. She doesn't like it, but I like it. I think it's cool. Oh, absolutely, we're doing it. Got the words on the screen. Back in the room with Bada. She's good. She's covered. But go back. She's in the back room.
Well, last week we talked about six seals. Next week we're going to talk about the seventh one. Tonight we're going to talk about the seal of Israel, and I think there are some people that I had talked to, and I remember going to college, that been a while, that didn't understand this 144,000 and the Jews and everything, and so I think this will kind of give a clue what's going on during this period of the disturbances and everything that's going on. We talked about last week about the first seal and about the when Jesus opened that and he saw the Antichrist riding in on a white horse. The second seal was a conflict on the earth that when he opened that, that people were killing each other. The third one was the rider on the black horse that was the famine. The fourth one was widespread death on the earth as a result of the famine and people killing each other. And the fifth seal was the cry of the martyrs who were under the altar that when the seal was opened, they were crying out in essence for the blood of the people that had killed them. And then the sixth seal was about the cosmic disturbances that were going on with all of the wind and the earthquakes and all of the ash and turning the sun and the moon and everything a different color, opening up, changing continents because of the change in the world because of those cataclysmic changes in all the areas of the earth. So tonight we're going to talk about the sealed of Israel, and there's a reference here, and there's some verses in there that I left out, like verse 5, 6, 7, 8, because there's really nothing to say other than what he's talking about the 12 tribes, but we will read it. But verse 1, he says, "After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree." And what that is, simply says, and we talked a little bit about it last week, I think we did, is the angels, what it represents is them standing north, south, east, and west on the four different quadrants of the compass in key positions. And the four winds is just kind of a figurative term that is used there by John, who says that in essence, God is going to turn off the wind for a brief period of time. And the earth pretty much has a need for wind and has a need for air to circulate and to move things around. And so anyway, when that happens, there's going to be a brief time when there is going to be no wind blowing at all. And verse 2 says, "And then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till all have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." The seal of the living God is something that we will see and we will experience if we're here during the second coming of Christ. And I think I had mentioned a couple weeks ago, my son's grandfather's 94, 95 now, and he anticipates that he will still be alive when Jesus comes. There's a lot of people that have forecast, and the earth's going to come to end on a certain day, and of course they've all been wrong. And that's not what he's about. He just really believes that. But what that seal represents is something like a signet ring that was put into wax on a document. And what it did is it did two things. Number one thing that it guaranteed its authenticity. Like we sign things today, then it guaranteed its authenticity. It also implied ownership of that seal. So he says here, and this is kind of interesting. I don't ever remember reading this before, but he said, and they will be sealed with the seal the servants of God on their foreheads. We talked about the mark of the beast being 666, and you'll not be able to buy or sell or do business after the rapture without that seal. But this is to also saying here that God's children are going to be sealed. And we referenced last week about the idea of people being saved during the tribulation. And there's a lot of support for it right here in chapter 7. So we'll get into that. He says in verse 4, he said, "And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Oh, by the way, I should have mentioned, there's some notes there at the end of a couple aisles if you need them. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. And of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. And that 12 tribes represent the 12 tribes in the Old Testament. And they were Jewish people. This refers to these 144,000. Refers to, I guess maybe a good term, and I put it in your notes, was missionary corps. Of redeemed Jews who were instrumental in the salvation of other Jews during the tribulation period. And so when someone says, well, there's only going to be 144,000 Jews saved, no, that's not what John's writing in Revelation. What he's saying is there's going to be 144,000 Jewish missionaries ministering to other Jews that will be saved during the tribulation. There's a note here that I wrote down. It said, the salvation of the Jews during the tribulation. Israel will finally be the nation that God wanted them to be, that they never were in the Old Testament for any extended period of time. We talked about Sunday, about Ahab, we talked about three kings before him, and when we got to Ahab, he was even worse than the king before him. He was even worse than the kings before him. And this week, if you get a chance, read 1 Kings 18. We're going to talk about God sending Elijah to Ahab, and it's interesting reading. It's a pretty cool story. I mean, the whole thing about Elijah's life is really it's a historical fact, but it's a great read when we stop and think about God sending a prophet. And I thought, as a note in my message Sunday, if I don't forget to do it, but we all, many people, let me put it that way, are given the gift of prophecy at different times in their lives. And I was thinking when that widow in my sermon preparation said that we're going to eat this meal and die, she prophesied death to her son. She literally spoke that. Now you might say, well, is that prophecy? Well, you're going to find out as we get into the rest of 1 Kings and then the early part of 2 Kings that, yeah, prophets do prophesy death. And it's an interesting thing. So it's so important, I think, that we are very cautious about what we say and how we say things. I've said this before, I've heard people say, that just kills me, and I laugh myself to death. And it may seem insignificant, but to me it's so important that we speak forth righteous sayings and righteous things, that we do not do that. And I'll be honest with you, I catch myself every once in a while saying, wait a minute. You know what you just said. And it's just wise, I think, that we do that. And this, I mean, when you pull out, a bunch of these verses here, it doesn't make chapter 7 real long, but there's several things I want to pray about tonight. It says, in verse 9, it says, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hand. During the tribulation, and while the tribulation is going to be a time of great judgment, it's also going to be a time of great redemption. And a lot of it's going to take place because of what people see as the rapture. And they're going to see people, that they've heard these stories all their lives about, this is what's going to happen. And they finally experience this, And there will be a lot of people that are saved as a result of that. When he talks about there, all the nations and tribes and peoples, it's just a reference to all the people in the world. And the palm branches he talks about there, in ancient time, palm branches were associated with celebration. You remember when Jesus comes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and how they had all the palm branches, and that was a time of celebration. Probably for some of the Jews, it may have been a time of the celebration of Jesus' death. You know, and somebody said to me one day, we were talking, and I said, the Jews are the ones that put Jesus to death. And they said, well, yeah, but Jesus was a Jew. Make any difference? You know, they're the ones that literally, you know, are the ones that allowed his death to take place. Verse 10 says, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation, you know, is the theme of worship throughout this whole idea of the rapture, the second coming, is that we're going to be worshiping God. And at this point, when it says that salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, they finally realize who has brought about salvation, that it is the Lamb of God that has done this. Verses 11, 12, and 13 says, all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying. And remember when we talked in the beginning of this whole study about Revelation and about everything that was taking place, and the living creatures and the elders and everyone, they're still praising God. They have not ceased that praise. But he says in verse here, he says, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever. And amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And it's kind of interesting because the elders, you know, and those that are worship God in heaven, the angels, you would think know everything. As close as they are to God, you would think that they know everything, but they don't. And so when this is a good indication here, is he said, who are they? Where did they come from? And who they're going to be are going to be those that are saved during the tribulation, because they're talking about great tribulation at this point. So this is who is here and who that they're talking about. you hate to use the term, these are the people who didn't make the rapture, but these are the people who didn't make the rapture. But yet, there's still hope for them. And during the seven-year period, people are going to be saved. People are going to be martyred, and people are going to enter heaven. I think that is such a hope that we have. It could be for our children. It could be for our grandchildren. It could be for us. We really don't know. Matthew 24, 12 through 14 says, and because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. This is Matthew 24, 12 through 14. But one who remains to the end, this one will be saved. Then this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in the whole inhabited world in witness to all heathens. And then the end will come. The reference there is as far as heathens that he's talking to, are those who are unredeemed, who have not sought through the redemption of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, he says, and I said to him, sir, you know. So he said, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What they see is that they're viewing salvation. And their robes are white, their robes have been washed, and now they're clean and they're ready to meet Jesus. The blood of the Lamb is the reference to Jesus and his atoning sacrifice. This is, I thought, was so interesting that, when we look at verse 15, he says, John wrote, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Now, keep in mind, this is still on the earth. This is not in heaven yet. These are those that were redeemed, that are on the earth, that are still worshiping, and worshiping God. And so anyway, the heavenly throne that they're talking about during this millennial time is literally a temple that's going to be built on earth. And it's going to exist here. It's going to be a holy place where God dwells. Now, the other part of this thing is in that final state of heaven, there'll be no need for the temple because he will be the temple. And that's who we will have that opportunity to worship there. So there will be no temple, but God himself is going to be the temple in heaven. But here is a temple that has been set up on earth. It's a holy place where God dwells in a partially restored fallen universe, pretty much, but it is on earth. And he says, they shall eat neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The reference there in verse 15, when he's talking about those who dwell among them, someone said, I was reading today, said a better interpretation of that might be, he will spread his tent over them. In essence, it would be like a canopy or something that's put over them. And what it will do, what that canopy will do, or that protection will do, will protect them from a fallen world and the horrors that will be experienced during the tribulation. Verse 16, when he talks about the hungering no more, thirsting no more, there will be no need for any food or anything like that, because he said here that will not thirst anymore, the sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Verse 17, and the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to a living fountains of waters. God will wipe away all their tears. The Lamb, when is referred to in the Bible, is always Jesus. And it's the Lamb of God. And I know it's a short chapter tonight, but there's a lot of definitely talks about what's going to happen on earth during the tribulation. I don't intend on being here. There's going to be better places to be than here. So, I talked to Ray this week, and he has a really good friend, Jim, who has Jim Dandy's Barbecue. And I was just talking to Ray. I said, "How's he doing?" He said, "Not very good." And so he's got cancer, and I think maybe a couple other health issues. And I just like to remember him. His name's Jim, and yeah. Ray said that he's going to talk about hope. I have this friend. Actually, I met him through my brother. His name's Nate. And he went in the hospital for back surgery and ended up had a quadruple bypass surgery. Been in the hospital for 5 weeks. So anyway, I want to remember Nate. He's a great guy. I called him yesterday, and I didn't get an answer. I didn't talk to him, and I didn't get a call back. So I'll keep after him. May have to call a hospital. We're going to talk about 1 Kings this Sunday, and it's the idea is behind it is Elijah the sent one, and he's sent to talk to Ahab, the most ruthless king that had been in Israel, and so. Read that if you get a chance. We're gonna walk through it like we did last week. I hope you enjoyed that. If you didn't, don't tell me. I just thought it was something different. Sunday is 28th, membership Sunday. We got people joining the church. Always a good thing. And met with them last night. It's the Cecils. We had a great time talking. So. And I'll share this Sunday, but they said they went to a lot of different churches. And Jason said, when you walk in a church, that just isn't it. Done that, But he says, when you walk into a church and that's it. And he said, that's what we found. So that's exciting. That's the type of testimony that you want to hear from people. So Any requests that you have? In Ireland or UK? I saw somebody at Mar today, you all know, from Montgomery's. Talked to Grant a little bit, talked to Ann. She's got one of these card things she gets around with, but she was, I wouldn't want to have been in front of her. She was moving right along. I talked to her, and she said the doctor said that she may have to use it the rest of her life. But the upside is, you're getting around. You're moving. She's getting strength back, and... Of course, Grant was just Grant. He's just, but anyway, I want to remember Grant and Ann. Pray for Sharon's cough. That's not good. It'd be a good time. It's not uncomfortable for you, and you get sitting next to somebody, grab somebody's hand. Just join in prayer and just, you're safe, Todd. But, that's fine. I understand. Heavenly Father, we would be nothing without you. Absolutely nothing. And sometimes I think we talk to people, we understand that some people think that they're above and maybe beyond you, and they don't need you. And Lord, it's not the case. I can't get that song out of my mind, and I know it's your fault. Step into the water. On my behalf, there's just so much to do, and there's so much that you want us to do, that we pray for wisdom and strength and the want to do that. Thankful, Father, for the email I got this week telling me that someone that heard that message and actually didn't hear it here but listened to it on the internet said, I stepped into the water. Stepped out of my comfort zone. Talked to a policeman. Told him we were praying for him at church. And so, Lord, I thank you for obedient hearts. And for people that are willing to take the gauntlet and go forward with it. That's what we really need in this day, Lord. Courage, wisdom. Lord, as we bring these requests to you and we listen to them, and Lord, I just want to talk about some of them. I want to mention Sunday and what great services you have brought us. And so, Lord, we are certainly expecting your presence again Sunday. And Lord, I'm so thankful that when guest pastors and speakers come in and walk out of here and say, there's just something special about the spirit in that church. And it's your spirit that's working through us. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, as we continue, I just want to lift up Ray's friend Jim. And Father, just ask you in the name of Jesus to touch that body. Take away the cancer. Take away the health issues that are causing him to not be able to be whole. And Lord, to be the witness, Lord, that you would want him to be. And I realize he witnesses through this. But Lord, there's so much more we can do when we're healthy and we feel good. And so, Father, that's why I ask that. And Father, for Nate, I just pray, Father, that you reach down and touch that heart of his. Thankful, Father, for his heart and for what you mean to Nate. But there's also physical things that sometimes interrupt what we would like to do. So I just pray, Father, for Nate and ask you to touch him. And for Greg, Lord, and the ministry that he has through the internet, we're just so thankful, Father, that those opportunities are available and people will understand that there are people out here that really care about him and really want the opportunity to talk to him and share with him. Lord, I thank you for each and every person in this band, Lord, and how they so beautifully minister your word in song to a congregation that just really enjoys them. So, Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for Debbie's co-workers, a relative that has cancer, Lord. We just pray, Father, that you touch his life, Lord, and you arrest the cancer in his body. You know, Father, that you're the great physician, you're the great healer, you're the one that brings life and keeps us in life. So, Father, we just ask for that. And for Chris, Father, we ask your blessings in his life. And we pray, Father, as we lift Chris up to you, whatever that need is, that in the name of Jesus it will be met. And not just met, but he will be flooded with blessings, Lord, that he has never experienced before. Just pray, Father, for Chris, and in Jesus' name, that Sharon's concern will be resolved and that God will be glorified for each and everything that he does. Lord, we pray for Grant and we pray for Ann, Lord, and we just thankful, Father, for what they mean to this church, what they mean to their friends at First Church, and we just ask, Father, that you continue to be with Ann. Continue, Lord, to strengthen her. Continue, Lord, to bless Grant as he cares for her and helps her through these issues that she's dealing with. Lord, pray, Father, for Saturday night. That'll be an opportunity to minister to people that maybe some of them don't go to church on a regular basis. Maybe some of them will find a church somewhere because of something that is said or something that is sang that will touch their hearts and open up their understanding and their desire to be closer to you and to walk down the path, Father, that you are leading. And Father, we pray for Linda's friend, and we just pray, Father, that you give her the gift to listen. Listen to wise and people that have wisdom and understanding, that have dealt with these types of situations before, Lord. We just come to you, and we're just thankful, Father, that you meet our needs. You watch over us, you care for us. And so, Father, as we commit this day to you and this service to you, we just pray, Father, that you will bless each and every person that's here. We pray, Father, a blessing on the people that walk through these doors here. Lord, we want nothing but your best. And we want nothing but your blessing on their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
He lifts me up, I get down. 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 get up, get down.
Keep that rhythm going. Melody, you dance for us. Show us how to dance.
What?
Go.
Get down.
Get out front, Melody. Woo!
To the life of Elijah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. He's got
it really does.
If I could get some Melody to dance on Sunday, we'll be in really good
shape. Sounds like that's what they're trying to talk about there. Yeah, that should happen. Yeah,
really good shape.
Yes. That speaks to the life of Elijah.
It's a fun song. Yeah, you want to sing it?
Sure.
Here, Melody, come on over here. We're gonna sing Jesus My Lord.
What? Oh boy.
Oh, it's on your screen, Melody. It's on your screen. Get in front of your mic.
I'm all pumped up now. You gotta unpump.
We did this last week too, but now I've got Todd. Todd's been wanting to sing. So I'm sorry I don't have it on the screen, but you guys sing along with what you know.
Okay.
Ready?
I think I'm ready.
Ready there, Todd?
Okay.
Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look up in your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever looked at the sunset with the sky mellowing red and the clouds suspended like feathers? Then I say you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look up in your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever stood at the ocean with the white foam at your feet? Felt the endless thundering motion? Then I say you've seen Jesus, my Lord.
Have you seen
Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view.
Take a look
up in your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever looked at the cross with the man hanging in pain and the look of love in his eyes? Then I say you've seen Jesus, my Lord.
Have you seen
Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view.
Take a look
up in your eyes. He'll show it to you. Have you ever stood in the family with the Lord there in your midst? Seen the face of Christ on each other? Then I say you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view.
Take a look,
open your eyes. He'll show it to you. He'll show it to you.
That's why we have both of them.
Well, we're counting on you. Actually, we're going to do that during the offering on Sunday, if Todd's here. All right, closing. Okay, now this.
Well, if I'm not here Sunday, I won't be here Saturday. So, yeah, if I'm here Sunday.
We're going to be here. You'll be here. He'll be here.
I'm all right.
He'll be here. Okay, this is actually going to be our closing hymn. This is a really cool little medley here. You ready, Karen, for this one? No capos, correct. Zero capos.
Something beautiful. Something good. Why confusion? Be understood. All I had to offer him. Great things, bless
confusion really fit in that nicely for that song.
Wow.
Oh, that's good. That's all good. All good indeed. Well, you know, we always like to play something as you're walking out the door, so...
He lifts me up and get down. He lifts me up and get down.